This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. Do you have a plumbing emergency? Call Four Seasons. An electrical emergency? Call Four Seasons. A heating or cooling emergency? Call Four Seasons. Same day hot water tank installation needed? Call Four Seasons. Need a whole home generator? Call Four Seasons. We guarantee same day installation on all heating, cooling, plumbing, and electrical needs. And no extra charge for nights, weekends, or holidays.
For all the right reasons, call 864 Seasons.
Chicago winters can be brutal. Snow, ice, freezing temps. If you're thinking, driving in this weather, I need a new Chevy, you're not alone. The right vehicle makes all the difference when it comes to safety, confidence, and comfort on the road. You saw the Chevy lineup at the auto show. Now it's time to take the next step. Need the power and durability of a Silverado, the all-weather confidence of an Equinox or Blazer, the spacious comfort of a Traverse, Tahoe, or Suburban, or the sporty, city-friendly Trax, perfect for navigating winter streets? Your local Chevy dealer has exactly what you need to handle winter like a pro. Don't wait. Head to ChevyDriveChicago.com today. Browse the newest models, special offers, locate your nearest dealer, and start shopping online. Winter roads demand a vehicle you can trust. Find yours now at ChevyDriveChicago.com.
Ground under repair as we battle through the morning. Don't forget today at 2 o'clock, Royals play baseball for the first time in 2025. Here on 96.5 The Fan, you're home for Royals baseball. So should be a good. You thought yesterday was fun watching Dodgers and Cubs.
Dodgers and Cubs, man.
Not only is it Friday for you.
Yeah.
Royals play baseball at 2, so right in the groove of, you know.
Yep, picking up at the school.
No kids in the house.
Yeah, you get a little bit.
You're going to get home and be like, this is what it used to be like.
Yeah, right. It's going to be interesting to see what I do with nobody in the house
Right? What's that meme of that little blonde-haired kid? Wow. It's a land of make-believe.
Yeah, that's kind of what it's going to be
like.
Right
when you walk in your house at 10:30 for the first time in 2 weeks.
It's going to be awesome, right? Yeah, I may not even go home today. But, no, cool. I'm glad baseball's back. And I don't know if the Royals are going to be one of these test balloons for the ABS that was used in the game yesterday, the automatic ball strike system that baseball had. They had their first opportunity to challenge a ball or a strike yesterday, and they did it. And I didn't even realize it was happening. That's how fast the challenge happened.
Do you love how they call for it?
Yeah, they just pat their head a little bit.
I mean, immediately.
Yeah.
As soon as it's an inch outside.
Yeah. There was one, though, I did find myself screaming in the third inning, though, challenge that, because I swear it was a strike, you know? And I'm like, you got to challenge that call right there. Actually, Keller was on the mound. Had he challenged it, he gets out of the inning.
Brad Keller?
He's pitching for the Cubs, yeah. And so he had the opportunity to challenge a call. I think he should have and would have probably been out of the inning. But I love it. It happened so instantaneously. Like, you didn't even know that they were reviewing it, kind of until they went back to it. That's how quick the review was done. They challenged it. They looked at it. They moved on. And literally it happened in that speed right there. How we just talked about it. It's not a stop down of the game or anything like that. It's literally pat your head, look at it, call up, done, boom. And we move on. And like, I'm telling you, you didn't even know it was taking place during the game. And so I was a big fan of that. Cause I know like the baseball purists, they always fall back. Oh, replay is going to slow down the game. So you're a baseball purist. You've slowed down the game. Mm-hmm. So this is not slowing down the game. It's not getting in the way. And it gives you the opportunity to get it right. And it gives you the best of both worlds. You still get the human element, but two times a game, if you don't like the call, you get the opportunity to challenge it. If you win, you keep your challenge. So it's kind of like the NFL in that.
Is it better to you than the pitch clock?
No, I don't think so. The pitch clock moves the game along. Like it's impactful on every single play, but it's another just step to make sure we're getting calls right. There's nothing wrong with that. Like it's the best, like I said, it's the best of both worlds. You still have the human umpire, mm-hmm. but if you don't like a call, you can challenge it. And I think there were two challenges maybe in that game yesterday.
Do you have a limit?
Two.
That's it.
Yeah. Okay. But if you get it right, you keep your challenge.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha.
Which, I mean, you're going to see so many people get thrown out of games for like tapping their head. It's going to be the funniest, most petty thing in the world for baseball umps. Because you know they're pissed. Like, you know umpires are like,
of course you're having a pity party. What they do.
You're
looking at them and saying, you stink at your job, so we're bringing, like, they're putting you on a PTP or whatever they call those things, you know?
But, I mean, they're still going to suck at their job. I mean, the NFL refs still suck, and we have replay, and we have...
Boy, did you see that story, by the way, about NFL refs sucking?
Tough.
I mean, like, they're worried that that we talk about them sucking, it's going to cause nobody to want to be an NFL referee, and they're not going to have people to ref these games anymore, which I don't disagree with. Why would you want to be an NFL referee?
They're not full-time, they don't get paid enough, and they get constantly scrutinized.
Well, they get paid pretty good, but they're always scrutinized. Like, no matter what they do, they get booed, they get scrutinized, they get destroyed.
Isn't that kind of the territory, though?
It is.
Don't you kind of know you're getting into that when you get into it?
It is, but it's different now with social media than it was 25 years ago. You became an NFL ref. You were kind of nameless, faceless. Where were people going to give you a threat, right? Now everybody's running to social media saying you suck. People don't want that.
I'd be like, yeah, I don't know. I mean, you kind of got to, that or just, you know,
back in the day before social, where did you go to complain? You wrote a letter.
I mean, people have been dressing up as blind referees since 1950 for Halloween.
I think it's different now. The volume.
Well, then stay off the internet.
Well, but it doesn't mean, okay, stay off the internet. Like, that's easy to tell somebody to do.
People stay off the text line.
Yeah, I do.
You can do it.
But they're worried about this next generation of referees. I don't blame them. I mean, why would you want to be a referee or an umpire in this climate? I mean, people getting death threats all the time and whatnot, and the hatred that's... I don't blame people for not wanting to do that job. That job is no sort of love. And, you know, the reason you see Carl Cheffers all the time is because he's like the senior ref with 6 years in. Like, there's nobody that's a senior official anymore that can ref the Super Bowl, you know? So it's crazy.
What do you referees make?
Oh, they're making six figures probably. I mean, probably $250,000 if you're a white cap.
I'll go referee.
You know,
average salary of $205,000. That's including that's base and game fees.
Yeah,
threat me all you want.
More experience, earn more. Yeah,
yeah. I'll go make $205,000.
Yeah,
this guy sucks. I hope you die. $205,000 my bank account, Carl. You get 40.
I mean, but what they did to that John Higgins when he was reffing basketball. I mean, and you know, ruining his business and attacking his family. Like,
that's one story.
And
I understand. But I mean, look. It happened before with Dekinger.
Yeah.
They were trying to kill him
in
85.
In 85,
So, I mean, it's been happening all the time. And just now, all of a sudden, like, we're like, well, nobody wants to do it because their feelings.
Yeah. Well, welcome to 2025. I mean, there's a lot of things people don't want to do because of their feelings anymore, you know?
Yeah. No, I get it. I mean, you know, people are going to come after you. I mean, it happens all the time. People come after us. How you handle it and how you go about it, I mean... I think a lot of it is just like envious, and I think a lot of it is just like passion of hate. Like, I think people that watch the game get caught up in the moment, and then I think it also hurts that, if we're still talking about the referees, I think it hurts the referees because, you know, the broadcasters no longer officially have their back. Before, like, you would never hear, like, you know, I don't know what his name was, but the guy, Howard Cosell. I bet he would say one or two things about a referee. He was talking more about players, and that's why people didn't like him, but he would never be like, this referee, just absolutely terrible call. But you have guys like Troy Aikman now that are like, oh, I mean, just an absolute atrocious call. I don't understand why they're doing that.
But see, the difference is
The fans gravitate towards Troy. And then they're like, well, if he's saying it, it's okay to say it.
The big difference is, though, Howard Cosell would say it on that broadcast, and that was it. You wouldn't see it the next day. Troy Aikman says it on that broadcast.
Yeah, and it's on, like, awful announcing.
Everybody's tweeting it. Every talk show on every national network's talking about it. So a throwaway comment about the officials back in the day was literally a throwaway comment. Now, oh my God, did you hear what Troy Aikman said about the refs? And it's on every blog, every clickbait article, everything, and everybody's talking about it. So it's a completely different deal than it was back in those days, because there wasn't the week-long scrutiny of everything now. And as we know, the refs have been a topic because people think the games are fixed. You know, for the Chiefs, as we saw in the Super Bowl, they really did us a great job of fixing that game for the Chiefs. You know, like, so maybe that'll stop as well, that the referees are in on the fix for the Chiefs to win all these games and people can move about their day.
I'm just on both sides, because I just think there is natural reason for it. I think it makes the sport better. I think it adds to the game itself. Like, I mean, we watched a great AFC championship game, did we not?
Yeah.
And what was the one thing that everybody wanted to talk about? Was it a first down or not?
Yeah.
It wasn't. Was Josh Allen good? Was Mahomes great? Was this guy good? Did this guy show? It was... We got our Uber.
Right.
In New Orleans. and talked to a guy from the Bayou. And he was like, what y'all think? First down or not? I was like, I don't know, man. That was 2 weeks ago. And you're still talking about it, and you have no dog in the fight.
But see, again, that's also another major problem that I think this new era of watching sports is about. Like, people back in the day would say, oh, man, that guy swung and missed at a great 2-2 pitch, and he should have put it in play, and we would have scored a run and won. Now it's just easy to blame referees. And I also think a lot of it is we don't consume sports the way we used to consume sports, where you actually sat down and watched the whole game. A lot of people's consumption of sports is 30-second highlights and clickbait headlines on social media. A lot of people's news is that way as well. You see the headlines, you get mad, you react, and maybe you don't even click on the headline to see what the story is about because it'll debunk the way you're feeling about that headline. And I think we're in a lot of that right now as well, because I think, you know, 30 years ago before social media, people would have been talking about, man, Josh Allen had a chance to win that game with 3:33 left, and he wasn't able to lead his team down the field. But you want to point to a play that took place early in the fourth quarter that could have been wiped out by, you know, doing your job, as Bill Belichick said, the rest of the way. And so I think the over scrutiny of sports, and that really hit me in 2014 when one of the folks that worked in the front office of the Royals said, my son hasn't watched a game all year. I said, he's in high school. What do you mean? He goes, he just gets the highlights on, you know, TikTok or YouTube or whatever it was. And that's when I realized the consumption of sports is different. And so all these folks that are mad about referees and umpires, did you watch the whole game or did you just see this one highlight and react to it like we do? I mean, that's human nature now.
I just think that today's age is better for sports, because now instead of like a Franco Harris play happening where you get no sort of, you know, rule or you get no sort of like conversation, it's just like, here's a headline, the catch. Here's an article written by a beat writer, and here's another article written by a national guy. And then it's like, now I've got to wait a week for the next paper to come out, or I've got to wait for somebody to actually read this, or I got to wait for everybody to kind of get their consensus together and then talk about it. Whereas like something can happen in a game on Sunday at noon, and by 4 o'clock, there are four different angles on it because everybody's had a time to read it and discuss it. And you can kind of see like who's right, who's wrong. Like the best example for that this year was when Tyreek Hill got arrested in Miami going to the game. There were two different Americas on that whole thing.
Yeah. Oh,
there
yeah.
were people that were like, they shouldn't have treated him like that. And then there were people like, he should have been a Richard. And then you got to the middle ground of it where it was like a Venn diagram where you had like team support, team against, middle area. Shouldn't have been speeding. Shouldn't have, you know, been, you know, go back and forth. Could have been nicer. Probably wouldn't have led to this.
Right.
Guy also should have probably drug him out. I don't know. I just think that like the where we're at today and the availability that we have, plus like in sports, there's 14 cameras on every sort
of
game.
Oh, yeah, the technology is
like
so
last
much
night
better,
watching those cameras pop from every angle, from every spot, like I was mesmerized. Yeah. Whereas like in 1980, there was two cameras. There was probably one behind a goal, and there was probably a wide shot.
That was probably it in hockey back in the day. Yeah, you had the camera that kind of just followed the action, and maybe you had behind the goal
one.
Like it was maybe like pointing towards the goal so you could see if it was a goal. Yeah,
that's the way things happen. Like we evolve, like technology evolves. Yeah. You know, place skill evolves, and you know, guys are running 4.240s. You've got different camera angles in football games. Like, we now have the availability to kind of see what we never saw before.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we're going to be opinionated.
Yeah. And everybody's,
And if you're at the professional level and there are a lot of times you get stuff wrong, if I give up bad stats, like, people are going to be like, dude, I'm not going to take you for granted because like you said wrong things. I just don't trust you. Whereas like if a referee, like Carl Sheffers, who's been wrong clearly a lot, then it's going to affect that.
Yeah. But the NFL does a good job too of removing the ones that are serial offenders. I know we use Carl Sheffers all the time because he's the name we know, and he messed up
longest
a couple of calls
tenured
here.
One in 6 years.
Yeah. I mean, exactly. I mean, that's what goes to show you where these guys are and gals are right now.
Yeah.
And you know, for every call they get wrong, there's 500 that they do get
right.
And whatnot, but we never look at that because that's not how we work as human beings. You know, it's easy just to pounce on when you get it wrong because it does stand out and whatnot. But you know, if this is going to, you know, change the way that they're recruiting officials and they have a problem with it, then it does. You make a good point. It needs to start with your TV broadcasters. I mean, the NFL needs to go in and say, guys, stop ripping the referees. You know, stop making them the focal point of the game.
You don't talk about it. You just let it go.
Yeah.
How about PK Subban?
In terms of the money, you're probably right. There is a lot of money. But once again, I ask the question, what are you playing for? Like, if you're really about it, if you're really about sports, then you're about two things, your teammates and the fans. And I'm sorry, it doesn't matter how much money you're making. When you do not show up to play, you're letting your teammates down. When you do not show up to play, you're letting the fans down that are paying you 40, 50, 60 million. I don't care if you're getting 300 million. Congratulations. But these people in here are paying $2,500 a ticket, $5,000, that are blue-collared, hardworking people. If you don't get your head wrapped around that, you shouldn't be in pro sports, because how are we going to grow? How do we expect you to be an example? Well, guess what? You don't want to be? You are one. You're on the biggest stage. You just said it. They make the most money. You're an example. You got to show up. You got to take that on. I'm sick and tired of making athletes greats, all-time greats, that aren't the best examples. Those are the people that we want our kids to follow, that we want athletes to follow. That helps us in our game. Stephen A., you want athletes to be educated on this and understand this. They got to understand the importance of showing up to the All-Star game and being on the court and playing banged up sometimes and playing injured maybe at times. Thank you. And participating, because here's the thing. Because you're making 100, 200, 300 million, you should be out there banged up. You should be. That's why we pay you, is to max out. We talk about greatness and it being the longevity of somebody's career. I don't care if you play 50 years. I want your best 10. I want you on the court dominating. I want you to go all out. I want Michael Jordan. I want Kobe. That's what I want in every sport. That's the guy that I follow. If you're a different version than that, you don't get my respect.
That's unbelievable
PK
stuff.
PK, breathe, yeah. Buddy. Even Stephen A. listening to that on the set was just like, man, this guy's, he's cooking.
Yeah, he was great.
TV now?
Yeah, he is. There he is. Yeah, talking about the difference between the NBA and the NHL and players and whatnot. I notice LeBron is starting to, you know, have a little bit of a fire over the last couple of games that he's played. 40 points last night or whatever it was, a huge dunk the night before. Like, all of a sudden, LeBron, I think, maybe got the message that, sir, you suck, and you're going to sit there and opt out. You know how many Americans would love to just opt out of work for a day, and we're not able to do that because
Just did it for a week.
Yeah, I did. Students did. Yeah, right. But like, could you imagine like somebody calling up and going, yeah, I'm just going to opt out today. I worked yesterday. I'm just not going to work today. Like that, the way that the NBA players opt out of games and use load management just does not sit with America. It just doesn't. And it never will sit with the United States of America and the hardworking people in this country that bust it every day that want to use sports as a form of entertainment. And you're not going to play because you're tired and you work, you know, 81 games a year. It just doesn't sit well. And so that's where PK Subban was like, you're going to see tonight. And we did see tonight, you know, Matthew Tkachuk playing with a groin that's probably hanging off his bone right now and going out there and gutting it out. Guys diving in front of pucks, Binnington standing on his head in overtime last night. Like, those dudes went out there and worked and played and gave us as American sports fans what we want. People to go out there and give it their all and earn their money. And you saw that last night on both sides. And that's PK Subban talking about the divide between the NBA and the NHL. I don't know any American who could just pick up the phone and go, yeah, I'm opting out today. I'm not going to come into work because I just don't feel like it. Like, it just doesn't work that way. Nobody has the time to deal with that, especially when you're spending good money to go watch these guys play. You want to see the stars.
Yeah, PK killed it for sure. I love it. I will say I don't like LeBron being the focal point of it, and I get the All-Star game, and that sucked, but for 20 years, LeBron has been the picture of attrition, like the picture of stamina and fighting through injuries and playing and longevity.
Picture of it's Embiid.
It is Embiid, but Embiid will never be the name that LeBron is.
Yeah, and LeBron's 40.
Yeah, but when
still playing,
right?
Still playing.
But when LeBron amazing. When he sits out, though, I mean, it resonates, and that's how you know that you're at the top of your game. You don't care if you know. Jack Sikma sits out a game or whatever, a random NBA player. But you're going to a game for the players, right? You're going to a Laker game. Yeah, it'd be cool to go to a Laker game. But, man, I really want to see LeBron. And then he's not playing in that game. That's why I go back to what Ned always said. I'm not sitting any of my guys at home. I'll sit them on the road if they need a day off. But I'm not sitting them at home. Our fans are paying to go watch these guys play, and I want to give them the best product possible out there. And so that's why LeBron is going to be the brunt of all this. If LeBron wasn't sitting out and wasn't taking these days, I don't think anybody would really care.
But you're talking about the All-Star game or regular season?
All of it, because this whole opt out stuff and you know whatever we call it, you know, load management has been an issue for probably a decade now for fans.
I just don't think Bron should be the guy that we're attacking.
That's what I'm saying.
Because it'd be like saying like, oh, Tiger's only going to play the majors. Like, yeah, he's had surgeries and he's almost 55.
He's the GOAT.
Let him live his life. At least he's playing.
Yeah,
he could have like hung it up like Barry Sanders and Calvin Johnson did. We're just like, oh, my team's terrible. I'm done. I'm going to retire at an early age. Instead, he's at least playing. The other thing, too, is I think the people that you attack are the people like Luka, the people that are like SGA, Ja Morant,
Embiid.
Joel Embiid, guys that are young, that are the future of the NBA, that are attracting these young players. You shouldn't attack people like LeBron and Steph. Now, LeBron's All-Star game, that's a different sort of opt-out.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
That's like that. We talked about
that's
that.
The one that shined the light on it and made it a national story.
Right, but that's a completely different story. Like, the way he handled that and the way that there were other things involved, that. But, like, throughout the regular season, the real easy fix to all of this is you don't need 81 games.
Exactly.
That's what it is. Cut the season in half.
Right, but they won't do it.
No.
Out of the top 20 point scorers, which is hypothetically the best players, 14 of them have played, have missed less than 10 games on the season.
Yeah.
So that's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Look, if you're hurt and you can't play, it's one thing.
Yes.
But, you know, to just not play is the thing that people don't seemingly 100%. Understand, because you just don't see that in any other sport.
And to be fair, LeBron played two nights ago the entire game, missed the last shot to win it, to tie the game.
Yeah.
And then just played last night and had 40 points.
Had 40 points last night.
He's not missing.
But also, I think LeBron is always, he's LeBron, right?
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
sleeper. Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
He's always going to be a lightning rod. A lot of people believe he's only playing because he's a narcissist to get his son on the team and records, all that kind of stuff, and records for himself. And so that doesn't sit well because he's always compared to Jordan and Kobe, who didn't have those type of qualities.
Yeah,
it's true.
And that's where the divide comes, because you got, I'm a Jordan guy and I'm a LeBron. Well, you can be both. Like, I was raised with Jordan, but I love watching LeBron play for all those years. Like, it's okay to like both.
Yes. People hate LeBron because he had an hour-long press conference where he donated a bunch of money to kids.
And I don't understand that either.
People always forget that we had an hour-long press conference about how Kobe committed adultery. But let's hate LeBron.
Yeah, the LeBron hate for that is one
But let's hate LeBron.
I don't understand that. But he's been around forever, and when somebody's around forever, eventually they just turn into the villain, right? They just turn into the villain.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.